chapter 14 of 2 Samuel. And again, I'm preaching on when God sets our fields on fire. And I want you to see an illustration here of a great truth. Beginning in verse 29, the Bible says, "Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king. But he would not come to him, and when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servant, See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Then Joab arose, and he came to Absalom unto his house, and said unto him, Wherefore have thy servant set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in him, in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face toward the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Now I want to give a little bit of background to this passage of scripture. The book of 1 Samuel and the book of 2 Samuel are just tremendous books. In fact, they're some of my very favorite books in the Old Testament. And the stories in this book, they're not stories in the sense of being fiction. They're not fiction. They're nonfiction. They're truth, true accounts. And the Bible tells us that among David's many children, there was this young man that he fairly doted on named Absalom. And Absalom, the Bible tells us quite a bit about him. He was obviously a very handsome young man, had beautiful hair, and had quite a temperament. But the Bible gives us the story about a time that one of Absalom's brothers, you're familiar with this, Amnon, went in to his own sister and violated her. She begged him, she pleaded with him, she said, "Be not as one of the fools in Israel," but he overcame her and violated her and shamed her. And when the word got to Absalom, Absalom immediately made up his mind that he was going to revenge his sister on Amnon, and that's exactly what he did. And you can read about that in chapter 13, verse 23 through 36, the whole story and the plot that Absalom concocted and how he murdered Amnon for the terrible sin that he had committed. He got his revenge. And then if you read on in chapter 13, verse 37, 38, and 39, the Bible tells us about the refuge that Absalom took. In other words, he fled after he'd committed that crime and he became an exile. He became a fugitive. And the Bible tells us that also in chapter 13. He spent, the Bible says, 3 years in a place called Geshur, laying out on the lam in exile. Self-imposed exile, but exile nonetheless. But then in our passage that I've read this morning, it's about a return. He's made a return in chapter 14, the first 28 verses. He's had his vengeance. He's gone into exile for 3 years, and now he has been able to return to Israel, and he's been in Israel, specifically in Jerusalem, for 2 years. But in the passage of Scripture I read, it's all about something else. Absalom wanted a reunion with King David. He wanted to be brought back into David's graces. And that's what this is all about. See, all this 3 years that he's in Jerusalem, he never got to see the king's face. He wasn't welcome there. The king had not invited him. He dare not go before the king. And this was just eating him up. And so when I read these verses this morning, that's what this is all about. It's all about that reunion that he wanted. Now, I want to mention some things about this. The story is that Absalom sent for Joab, David, one of the most influential men with David, the captain of the king's host, Joab. And he wanted to ask Joab to intervene for him and to go to see the king on his behalf. And so he sent a messenger asking him to come to see him. He wanted him to come. Joab was asked to come to see the king's son. Now, I want you to notice in verse 29, the request that was made. The request that was made. In verse 29, the Bible says Absalom sent for Joab. He wanted him to come and see. But here's what Joab did. Read on in verse 29. But he would not come to him, the Bible says. And then, and this is something that Absalom wanted real, real bad, was for Joab to come to him. But Joab simply refused and he would not come. And then in going on in verse 29, the Bible tells us that Absalom repeated his request again. In verse 29, the Bible says, and when he sent again the second time, he would not come to him. Now, beloved, I want you to see that there's a little reminder here that there's a God in heaven that wants people to come to him. And I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. It's just one of scores and scores of passages like this that reveal the mind of God along these lines. But look at Proverbs 21 and verse 24. God said, because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. See, that's a choice. God said, I want you to choose the fear of the Lord. I want you to fear me with a wholesome, reverential fear and obey me. And when I send out a call to you, I want you to answer me. God wants to be acknowledged and God wants to be submitted to. In verse 30, God said, and they would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So here is Absalom sending his servants to appeal to Joab to come to him, and yet he would not come. Now, beloved, I want to say this. God has always been sending his servants all these many decades and centuries and throughout the ages. God's way is to send his servants to tell people to come to him and to summon them to him. And preachers come with their sermons and their counsel, evangelists and pastors and others. They come with God's beckoning people to come to God in one thing or over one thing or another, this or that. See, God looks upon us And God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And God is looking at individuals this morning. And He's saying, come. And so the first thing you see in this story is the request that was made. The request is made. It's made more than once. And more than once, it's refused. And then we see that Absalom takes a different tact. Then we see that with all of this belligerent refusal on the part of Joab, Absalom takes recourse to something else to get Joab's attention. And my, this is striking. Absalom wanted to get Joab's attention. Can I just tell you this morning? He's really going to do something dramatic to get his attention. And I want us to really pay attention to this. But again, let's be reminded of God. God wants people's attention. But God is so patient. Isn't God patient? God is long-suffering. And God is patient with us. Absalom had summoned him once and summoned him twice, and still he didn't come. Now, he's going to set his barley field on fire to get his attention. But he hasn't done that yet. But he didn't do it immediately. That's not the first thing that he did. And I'll tell you why. It's because he was reluctant to set his field on fire. See, God, you know where I'm headed with this. God has set, He is setting, and He will set people's fields on fire in one way or another. If that's what it takes to get their attention. But God doesn't want to burn their... He doesn't want to burn your barley field or my barley field to get us to answer up to Him, to obey Him. Just like this man here, Absalom, he didn't do this right away. He didn't want to. To do this immediately. But, you know, that's the way God is. But sometimes God will set people's fields on fire. Let me tell you how He does it and why He does it. One reason He does it, to get up their attention, if that's what it comes to, it's too bad it had to come to this. But it comes to it sometimes. God will set people's fields on fire. And God's got a whole lot of different ways to do that, beloved. He does it sometimes through sickness, through injury, sometimes through death, some other kind of disaster, some kind of heartbreak. God will set people's field on fire to get their attention in the matter of salvation. I mean, if that's what it takes, God is a good, loving God who's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if it takes setting some lost sinner's field on fire through something like I just mentioned to get their attention, God will do that. I think there's a lot of people that have suffered great loss, that are unsaved, and God has sent His messenger. God has summoned them. And still they won't come. So God allows something into their life, into their home to get their attention. Through the years, I've seen people and heard people's testimonies of what it took for them to finally get saved. I heard a pastor's testimony not too long ago. And for years, this pastor wasn't even saved. He knew he wasn't saved. He was afraid he wasn't saved. He was hoping for the best. But he was too proud to confess his true condition. And God allowed a tragedy in his family to wake him up. Now, God loves lost sinners. You might be pretending to be saved. You might be prideful or stubborn or whatever it is. Let me just tell you something, beloved. If God hasn't already set some field on fire in your life, He's liable to do that. And before I would have that field set on fire, I would repent before God and get saved. You look at this matter here, and Sometimes God sets people's fields on fire, not because they're lost, but because they're saved, and God's been summoning them, trying to get their attention about some service that He wants them to do for Him. They don't listen to God. He sends His servants, He sends His Holy Spirit to convict them through the Word, He sends preachers. Listen to me carefully, beloved. There are so many Christians that God wants them engaged in real service for Him, but they will not respond to God's call. What is it going to take? Sometimes it takes a death in the family. Amen. I told you the story one time about my wife's grandfather. And God was calling him to preach. He had six or seven kids and a little farm and a general store. And with that, they were barely getting by during the Depression. God was calling him to preach. And he said to his wife, he said, I think God's calling me to preach, but I got all of these responsibilities. One night they were all up in the back of the store and up above the store, and all of the family was asleep, and the place caught on fire. And they barely got out with the clothes on their back. They stood in the yard and watched the house and the store burn to the ground. And John Britton turned to his wife and he said, "Well, Allie Mae, I guess I can preach now." You know, whatever is keeping you from serving the Lord, God can take it out of your life. You put your children in the way. You say, "I want to get my children through college first. Then I'll really serve God. God's calling me to preach. I got to get these. God's calling me to serve in teaching a class. God's calling me to really get on the ball here and serve in this church and use the faculties and the resources that God has given me, the talents, the ability. But I got to get all of this done first." Listen, if you're letting your children hold you back, God can take that out of the way. I mean, I love you, but we've got to face the facts. If your house, if your cars, if your career, if your plan is in the way, God can burn that barley field down for you and make you stand looking at these songs this morning. I had no idea you were going to be singing them. But this last one where we stand back and we look at the rubble. Sometimes God sets people's fields on fire in the matter of His call to service. And sometimes God sets people's fields on fire just in the matter of outright sin. If God's children have sin in their life and they're regarding sin in their life, whether it's some form of worldliness and you know that it's worldliness, unfaithfulness to the house of God. And let me just say this. This is God's house. This is God's service. And I'm telling you, we ought to, if somebody was looking for a job and they were told, "Look, they need a job really, really bad." And so they say, "Well, we give you an interview in the morning." I'm telling you what, you let nothing keep you from making that interview. And you wouldn't come in an hour late for the interview. Amen. But that you would do that just for some human being, for some lost, perhaps heathen. Well, what about God? How about that song that says, "Give of your best to the Master"? And for the young people here, I'll finish that a little. Give of the strength of your youth. God deserves the strength of your youth. Not the baseball team or the basketball team or the volleyball team or the debating team or the choir. God deserves the strength of your youth. Amen. And listen, young people, don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that God wouldn't set one of your fields on fire to get your attention about service, about separation, and about living for the Lord. So here's the patience that's shown in all of this. And then the place involved. In verse 30, the Bible tells us Absalom said to his servant, Joab's field is near mine. You say, well, what's the lesson there? Last week I was listening to some, you know, the AT&T, I think it's AT&T, one of these companies says their slogan is, you know, reach out and touch somebody. In other words, anywhere in the world, you can just reach out and touch somebody. And I was listening to some of you hunters last week, and I heard somebody say, talking about the particular rifle they use, and they said, I really like this rifle, and I like to load my own shells and that way because I can just, they named the yardage and all that, and they said, I can reach out with this rifle and touch a elk or a deer or whatever. I can reach out and touch them at so many yards. When Absalom said, got ready to burn Joab's barley field, he said this, it's near mine. And here's the point. God can reach out and touch any of us and anything about us and anything we have anytime he wants to. He said his field is near mine. God can reach us wherever we are, beloved, and burn a field. And then look at the price that was paid. In verse 30, Absalom had said to his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Apparently, the barley had all come in and probably ready to harvest. Some value there in that field. And Absalom said, go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. So here's the patience in this verse. And then finally, the place involved, the patience about setting the field on fire in the first place, the place involved right next to his own field. It was easy to touch it, easy to reach it. And then, here's the price of it all. He said, go burn that. Burn it all up. Now, again, there are lots of ways that God can get people's attention. Through sickness, through material loss, through a job loss, through death. And I was thinking about all of the different, and there's so many different stories, and they're true stories that I've heard and I know of personally, of people who have been stubborn about responding to God's call on their life and what God has had to do to get their attention and change their mind. Now, lastly, I want you to see that after Absalom had Joab's field, it came to that. After he sent his servant and they set fire to Joab's field, let's look at his response now. Now, before he ignored it all, before he didn't pay any attention, the messengers came and the messengers said, you have an invitation from the king's son to come to him. He's calling you. Joab didn't care anything about that. He just brushed it off. He didn't pay a bit of attention. But now that his field is on fire, the response is different. Now, here's the first thing I want you to think about. I didn't say this in the Bible, but I think we can safely assume that when this happened, Joab may have been sitting in his house with the window open or just walked outside for a moment, and he looked and he saw, and lo and behold, here's this billowing smoke and this fire is raging across his barley field. And guess what? I think he was probably surprised, don't you? Do you know what? Most people think it was probably the farthest thing from his mind that that barley field would be burnt up, much less the way that it was. I think he was surprised. I think he was like most people that think it may happen to other people, but it won't happen to me. But it did happen to him. He looked about and he saw his barley field on fire. Now, People think, as I said, it can never happen to them. That's why we have Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 in the Bible. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So I think Joab was surprised. But you know what? One thing you have to say about his response now is that the strategy was successful. In verse 31, the Bible says, Joab arose and came to Absalom. Sometimes people won't respond. Now, listen, it took the burning of his barley field to get him to get up and respond to that summons. Sometimes people don't respond even if God does burn their barley field. Do you know that? This was successful here because Joab, the Bible says, he arose and he came to Absalom. Now, here's a scary thing. And I know people do this. God burns their barley field. Wouldn't it be a strange thing if his barley field was burning and he's standing there in the yard, the smoke's in the air, there's the sound of burning barley, there's the smell of that smoke, and you can see the fire, or you could have seen the fire, but here's a guy who's got a barley field being burned, but he can't see it. All the neighbors see it. Everybody else sees that he's having a field burned, but he doesn't see it. That's the way some people are. God burns their barley field, and their relatives and their Christian brothers and sisters stand back and say, I guess this is what it's taken. God has burned their barley field in this way to get their attention. They see it. They don't see it as that at all. They just see it as some kind of circumstance, some bad luck, and so on and so forth. But Joab saw it for what it was. Now, let me just say this. The time may come for people. Maybe there's somebody here. God has burned your barley field one way or another to get your attention. But you haven't followed through. Now, here's the thing. The time may come that God will leave you alone and say, I'm not ever going to burn another barley field in your life. I'm not going to try to get your attention in these ways anymore. See, in Genesis 6 and 3, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with a man. That's kind of foreboding there. And in Hosea 4 and 17, God said this about Ephraim. He said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. That'd be a terrible thing for God to say, Holy Spirit, leave him alone. Just leave her alone. From here on out, leave them alone. Don't burn any more fields. Don't do any of that anymore. Like I said, some people come to the point where they smell that smoke that's engulfing them. And others see it. And they stand back and say, what is wrong with that person? Can't they see what's happening? Can't they see that their field is on fire? Can't they see that God's trying to get their attention? Some people get to the point where they can't see it. And others say, what's wrong with them? Well, I'll tell you what can happen. People can get to the point, again, where God says, don't do anything else. But Joab responded. But let me tell you what's sad about it. He responded when that field of his was set on fire. He got up. He went quickly to Absalom's house. And he asked the right question. Why? Why is this happening? Why have you allowed this to happen to me? Here's what's sad about it. It was surprising for Joab, but it was successful. in the sense I said, but it was also very sad because he didn't have to have his barley field burnt if he'd only responded when God was speaking to him. I want you to think, I don't want to talk much more about it, but the ways God has of burning people's fields. All kinds of fields, all kinds of ways to get their attention. The thing is that it didn't have to happen with Joab, and it doesn't have to happen with people. Because in verse 29, look back at that again. Before Absalom burned his barley field, he sent again the second time. Maybe there's somebody here today, and this is your second time. Maybe there's somebody today, and the Spirit of God is convicting you for the second time about something. Now, there might be a third time and a fourth time. We don't know. But there's something in this case here that Joab got, if you can count, and I know you can, he got two chances. Two chances. I was reading this, and I never thought about it. You say, well, it's not that deep, and it just struck me that he got two chances. Because I've been reading in Job, and I remembered a verse that led me to another verse there. In Job 33, in verse 13 and 14, it's just something about this matter of two times. Job said, "Why dost thou strive against him?" He's talking about God. "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." And then over in chapter 30 or chapter 40 and in verse 5, Job is talking and he said, "Once I've spoken, twice, but I'll proceed no farther." Sometimes that's the way it works. You look in the Bible. It might just be twice, maybe just two chances, and then God will burn a barley field. And it'll be costly. And the whole thing will be so sad and regretful because you'll know that it didn't have to happen. There's just people today whom God's servants have cried out to, whom the Holy Spirit has convicted about things. Not once. I'm thinking of some right now. I'm thinking of some that God hasn't gone to them once. Their servant hasn't gone to them once. The Holy Spirit hasn't convicted them once about a thing. But twice, three times, four, five, six, seven, eight times, and they're still not doing what they ought to do. Now, beloved, I'm telling you, a person can get to the place after, and God's burned some people's barley field once, then burned another one. They say, "Why is all of this happening to me?" But they don't relate that to God. And a person sometimes gets to the place, I know they do, where they can't smell the smoke anymore. They can't see the fire anymore. They're not really recognizing any fields being burned down, They're just not getting it at all. And that's tragic. Beloved, the point this morning is that when God is dealing with, I'll throw this out there too, there are people that God has a particular will for your life. There's a direction He wants you to go. There's something He wants you to do. He's put everything in place. Everybody can see it but you. The doors have been opened. Everybody sees them but you. And still you're not going through. Maybe you haven't had a barley field burnt yet, but it's about to be burnt. And who knows what it'll be. Maybe it'll be burnt in terms of a hospital stay. Maybe in terms of a job loss. Maybe in terms of something that you can't reverse in the family. I heard a preacher say one time, he was preaching a revival for a pastor, and He went back in. He was staying in the back room, and he opened up the closet, and he saw a little set of crutches in the closet. And he asked the pastor about them. And the pastor said, years ago, God was dealing with my heart about this particular work, ministry, and calling. And he said, I wouldn't surrender to God. And he said, I just believe that God allowed my little boy to have this infirmity. Those are his crutches. Says he doesn't have to have crutches now, but for years he did. And he said, and I put them in that closet so that every day I could walk in here and open them up, because that's where I keep my clothes, and see them and not want to run from God's calling on my life and ignore God. Now, how about it? Maybe it's salvation. There's something you want to do. There's something you need to do. Whatever it might be. Don't wait till God has to burn a barley field to get your attention. Let's all stand together.